I don't care if it challenges me. I want to see the truth. And, to face what is true is a very big thing that does require courage, because you might have to face pain, and that takes courage. Stopping to demonize emotions and starting to trust myself and see what I need to do in my life, those were things that take great courage. Once we become open like that, we start to see some difficult truths. Maybe we have to face pain, which is true. We have pain, so that's truth. Most people who can start spending time in their own heart and compassionately look at themselves and their lives and their difficulties and their hardships and learn to be compassionate about that, realize, they just start to realize, I just dealt with a lot. Right? There's nothing bad there.
Welcome to the Happy, Healthy Human Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Levitin. What do the happiest, healthiest humans all have in common? They are students of success. In my mission to help both you and I become the happiest, healthiest humans we can be, I have studied success at all levels. And after spending over a decade working in the field of human development and flourishing, I can tell you with certainty, success leaves clues. On this show, I investigate and explore the common clues and foundational principles that tie together success in all areas of life. Whether it's happiness, health, wealth, relationships, it's all a part of the human experience. By following these success clues and understanding the underlying success principles, you will find that success is not simply a possibility, it's guaranteed. Every Tuesday, I give you simple, straightforward action steps and tools using these clues and principles of success to help you become the happiest, healthiest human you can be. Sandy Stream is an author and activist whose work is built on the belief that everyone deserves peace and is capable of finding warrior-like strength within themselves. After teaching law for 20 years and raising her two children, while facing a life full of adversities and lessons, she decided to turn her efforts towards facilitating workshops for young and experienced adults to encourage them to live in peace and power. In this episode, Sandy and I discuss success principles like self-acceptance and finding your authentic self, as well as how Sandy found her own courage, how she rewrote the narratives that controlled her life, and how you can too. So please enjoy this conversation with Sandy Stream. What is a courage circle?
Thanks for asking, Paul. The original courage circle was just me. I didn't realize it's a courage circle, but I painted a circle in my living room on the wall, literally with paint, and just started sitting there a lot during COVID times. I was going through a lot of difficulties. And so that's where the word courage started popping in my head and circle popping in my head. But eventually it became a book called The Courage Circle. And now I actually facilitate courage circles with many people. So I don't know if you want to know more about the first circle or the book circle or the actual circles with individuals that I'm facilitating now.
Well, I suppose I'm curious now that you've laid it out like that for me.
Yeah.
From the beginning, you said that you were thinking a lot about circles and then about the word courage. So why those two things?
I don't know why the word circle popped up, that's for sure. But courage came to me. I was reading a book called Power Versus Force, and courage and others had described it as being, it's almost like the switch that takes you from, certain states of mind and going into newer states. It's almost like this separator. And so courage started to be the main word that was always floating in my mind of how do I make choices? What do I do? Like, how do I get out of where I'm at? What do I learn? And so that was a big word for me for, I guess, learning and going into things that were very, very difficult. So courage for me plays a part in every single moment. It could be the courage to face difficulties, face conflict, set boundaries, try new things, feel your feelings, face traumas. Like for me, courage is really everywhere. It's not the jumping in front of a train type courage that I kind of identify with.
I think that the everyday courage, as you said, and learning to see courage and find courage in all various places, it's not just, as you said, the huge heroic acts, but it's courage in the small things. So I'm curious if in your own journey, when you sat down in front of that circle and started to unwrap this stuff, how did you start to position this in your mind to start seeing courage differently than the way that it's been presented to us societally?
I think what was happening for me is that I started really being very focused on what is true. So truth was like my, you know, it was like a horse. Like, I just want to see the truth. I don't care if it's fun. I don't care if it's comfortable. I don't care if it's easy. I don't care if it challenges me. I want to see the truth. And, you know, to face what is true is a very big thing that does require courage, because you might have to face pain, and that takes courage. You know, you might have to realize you need to set boundaries or make limits here and there. And so I think basically the focus on trying to find what's true in the deepest sense of the word, and I'm not talking about like, you know, kind of the social media fake news type of truth. I'm talking about, starting with your internal to see what you're feeling. So stopping to demonize emotions and starting to trust myself and see what I need to do in my life. Those were things that take great courage. And the more I started doing things from that place, the more I think it's almost like a muscle where it's like a constant now. So I don't think there's like a moment now where I'm like just walking around not courageous. It's just like it's part of the way of living. If something comes up, I'm like, okay, let's see what I need to do here. So I think it is like a bit of a muscle. I don't know.
I certainly agree. All of these things are muscles. It's why I love the analogy and why I use Happy, Healthy, Human as the title, because there's an analogy of health and fitness that is the same as the other struggles we go through, being more courageous. You train yourself to be more courageous, like you would train a muscle, and that's how everything works. But I'm curious, I want to stay on the word truth for a while, because that's a big word for me. And
yes,
what is true? And I know that might be a hard question, but I'm curious, what are some of the things that you've come to find as you've investigated this word? As you said, it's not like the news truth, and it's what I understand is to be universal truths, life truths. So what are some of the truths that you've come to know or accept?
So for me, it definitely started. It's not the whole thing. So it's many pieces of a puzzle that got me to this feeling of, you know, feeling okay in life. But definitely one of the pieces was to see, you know, where is the truth, first of all? Like literally, where is it? And a lot of people might think the truth is in their thoughts. So I like to, you know, I made a nice picture with an illustrator for the book where we literally drew people walking around with a calculator, like imagine a square for heads. And, you know, our calculator is working all day. It's measuring things, comparing things like a calculator would do, right? It's doing calculations, basically. You're taller than me, you're nicer than me, you're this, you're that, whatever. I'm going to compare and I'm calculating 2+ whatever. So we often think that this is who we are, and we're not always accessing what I come to experience as the truth, which is in the lower part of the body. So the word I started using, which is I couldn't even find on Google, I think it's like barely been used, but I use the word decorporated. Like we've literally been cut off from our bodies for so many centuries. And that begins with demonizing our own emotions, where you are not allowed to feel, basically. So it could have been in your home where it was illegal to feel, basically. You're not allowed to feel sad. You're not allowed to feel. We're not talking about throwing anything. We're talking about just feeling. And this demonizing of our emotions makes us not, you know, starting to trust what our bodies are saying, what they're feeling. And then, of course, we go deeper into our guts and our, you know, our heart and all these things. And so for me, it was starting to learn to get in the body. There's so many somatic practices and meditations, etc. But I think beyond that is starting to trust what you're seeing. You know, that's a big one. And again, like most people having had their emotions demonized, most people might have never experienced another human being reflecting some trust in the other of what they might feel they need to do or what they're going through. Like it's immediate, the immediate response is often something that will undo what I just said. So this might seem like no big deal, your emotions and trust, whatever, but it's actually the biggest thing there is. So I can describe to you one thing I do at the beginning of every circle, which I think already sets the tone for everything that we do there, would be one person will share something in the circle, anything. So if you want to try, I don't know, Paul, just share anything you're comfortable to share about your life, if it's okay, if you're willing to do that. It could be easy, hard, it could be anything, just something going on for you. You willing to do this little exercise with me?
Yeah, sure. We're recording this. It's, I think, December 27th. The new year is heavily on my mind. I've been doing a lot of reflection and looking back on the year past and looking forward on the year to come. And I'm not the most happy with how my 2023 played out. So it's bringing a little bit of anxiety around, like, actually looking over how I did has brought a little bit of discomfort. And so now I'm looking to plan accordingly for the year to come.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that. So in the circle, I always start with this, what we call listening demonstration. And it's actually basically, it's not about being nice. It's exactly about this word truth, right? Because what you just expressed, for example, is 100% true. It's unequivocal truth. There's nothing to argue about. It's the truth. And so there's different types of listening that we get in society, which really don't help us kind of function in truth. So the first type, when I give the demo, I say we imagine ourselves as a human mirror. And instead of reflecting the truth, the person like literally puts the mirror down as if the truth doesn't even exist. So we can call that dismissive or gaslighting or all those words, but that would be something like, oh, really, Paul, my 2023 has been going great, you know, so I think it should be kind of good next year as well. And so good luck. So that totally, like, you know, it's totally off, right? So we totally did not see the truth. And as you, the receiver of this, it's a constant message of like, you know, is there something like, but that, you know, there's something off that happens when we get that kind of listening. The second type of listening that we often get is, again, if we imagine ourselves as a human mirror, the person will lift the mirror instead of listening to what you just said, which is true. I'm going to listen to it for 1 second, but I'm going to put it down right away because I want to go fix you. I don't like what you said. I don't like what you feel. I don't like what you're going through. I don't really trust that you know what you're doing. I want to give you advice because I think I'm much smarter than you. I'm superior, whatever. There's all this weird stuff. We can call that one the fixing listening, and that one might sound something like, oh, really, Paul? I really know this amazing coach. I think I'm going to give you the number. And if you just talk to this coach, I'm sure it's going to go well. And plus, like, don't feel so bad about 2023. I mean, you should be grateful. You have a girlfriend, you have a house. Like, what's the matter with, you know, it's not that bad. Like, gratitude, honestly, I do gratitude 3 times. So blah, 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 again. So that is not listening to the truth and does not serve anybody, because it basically sends you the message that something is wrong with you. Something's wrong with what you just said. It's not good. It's like bad or something. No wonder everyone walks around with this feeling, right? Of something's wrong with me, because we often will get one of these two responses. And then the healthiest, I think, type of listening, and many people know, and I still need to practice to do it well because it's so hard, is to literally be a human reflection of the truth. And it's not even about being nice. It's actually about seeing the truth. And the truth would sound something like, so Paul, it sounds like you've taken this time because it's end of year and maybe you have the time or the space to do so. You're looking back at 2023. You're finding that there's things you're really not happy about that happened. And I guess you're wondering what to do in 2024 with this. And it's bringing up a lot of things in you, but you're kind of trying to see what to do. You call it maybe anxiety, but you're kind of trying to see what, you know, how do I deal with 2024, given what I feel about 2023? So something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's perfect. That's the truth. Summation. Yeah. That's exactly
it. And I don't need to get it right. Right. I just say like, is that true? And you might say, no, actually I'm not this, I'm actually that, or, you know, whatever. But what that does when a person listens this way, and I don't have to give the same words, I could just say, oh, really, Paul? Like, that will still give the same energy, right, of that third one without the exact, you know, mimicking of words or something. But just that energy of really, that allows you first to just process your things and feel like, oh, it's okay that I feel that, which it is, obviously. There's nothing wrong with what you're feeling about 2023 and 2024. So it allows that to exist. It allows you to not question yourself about what you're feeling. It allows you to open. It allows human beings to connect. It does everything, actually. And so what we start with in our circle is I do this little demo. And then with everyone feeling this difference, now every week we talk about a different topic. So 1 week we'll talk about boundaries. 1 week we'll talk about what do I need? 1 week we talk about victim mentality. But in that context of each person expressing what is true and the others in the room not challenging the truth, basically, at every moment of the day, just challenging all day long. That's what we get. So for me, this listening practice was not even about being nice to you. I wasn't trying to be nice to you, to be honest, Paul. I hear what you said, and that's the truth, and that's it, as a starter. We can, of course, be kind as well, and that's another type of thing to do. But at the heart of it, for me, that's true. So this is what I started doing for myself, to try to see what's true. I'm feeling this, and I'm uncomfortable with this, or I don't know what to do about this, or I'm scared, whatever it is. And then, of course, starting to trust ourselves, and that's a whole other ball game to learn to do. But that's, I think, where truth begins. And then, you know, once we become open like that, we start to see some difficult truths. Maybe we have to face pain, which is true. We have pain, so that's truth. Maybe we have to face, you know, that our history was not easy, or maybe we have to face that we're not currently okay with what, you know, many things that are true.
As you said, this is something we can all do better to practice. Some people call it empathetic listening. In my coaching training, when I was learning to be a coach, something that I had to be trained out of, which I still struggle with, is what they call the writing reflex. And the writing reflex is that second listener that you mentioned, where it's
the
like
fixing, yeah.
The fixer, exactly, right? Like, I know answer, so let me give it to you.
Right. But
that is dismissive of that person's truth and also about what that person needs, because we're assuming that in that, where I said, like, you know, I had a tough 2023, I'm kind of anxious going into 2024. If we come back over the top with an answer, never once did I ask for an answer. I was just expressing my own frustration, but my natural inclination as a listener is like, oh, have you, as you said, have you tried meditating? Have you tried breathing? Have you tried all these things? Because we want to be able to fix. And I think that this comes from a place, always from a place of goodness, where we don't want others to suffer. And it's just like, oh, why wouldn't I tell you the thing that helped me? Or why wouldn't I want to share this knowledge or something like that? But it's coming to, that's putting our own truth on it, or the truth of like, oh, this person is looking for a solution, but that was never asked. And you moved to trust, which I want to come back to trust in a second, but I want to stay on truth. I like these T words.
Yes. We could also use the word tolerate as part of it. Like, I can tolerate you being uncomfortable. Like, I don't need to go fix it also, because it doesn't look problematic to me that you are currently dealing with this.
So I like to tolerate. So it's kind of, those kind of go hand in hand to me, because what I'm getting at is the ability to be able to sit in that discomfort.
Yeah.
When you have your own truth and someone else's truth is different, or when there's something like you mentioned pain, physical pain. Right. So a lot of times we have physical pain, and my thought process is, well, I must have done something wrong. Right? I hurt my back, so I must be doing something wrong in the gym, or I'm sick, I must have not taken enough supplements or something like that. So when we have these value judgments with the reality of what's going on, how do you start to unwind that and find what is truth versus what is outside of truth?
It's a very hard thing, I guess, to start to see in terms of like our thoughts, right? Like which parts are true, which parts are not true. So that's why for me, it starts with feelings. Like I feel angry and I want to understand why am I angry. And I can look and I can feel almost like we have a lie detector machine inside. We can feel what's true. Like I can feel like I know I'm upset because my friend, whatever. I mean, I know that's why, right? And then we can look for what's true. What do I really need? I mean, we can feel those kind of truths in our bodies, I believe, what's less obvious in terms of what's true or not true, the words you were talking about were more like blaming and guilting and criticizing. Those for me come from that calculator. They're not from truth. And so they come from, you know, information that was put into the brain, you know, usually at a young age, that something is wrong with you. That's the most like common thing I keep seeing over and over and over again, that people walk around feeling something is wrong with them. Whereas my belief is absolutely nothing is wrong with anybody. Like, there's just nothing wrong. We're perfectly good. And that's it. Like, we're not even, I don't even like that word good enough, because it gives a feeling of like, okay, I'm 80%. I'll just kind of settle for that. I'm 80. It's okay. I should be happy with 80. I'm good enough. I don't even believe that. I think we're internally just perfect. And we make mistakes and we're learning in the million things, but internally there's just nothing wrong. And if nobody's treated you that way, so of course you're always thinking that that's true. And so you're trying to fix, you know, the fixing energy you're talking about is literally the one we're pointing to ourselves all the time in the deepest way. Whereas if we come to feel ourselves as being, I'm good inside, I'm good, I don't even have to do anything for that feeling, then we could start to look at other things, you know, yeah, you know what, I really made a mistake here. It was a big mistake, but it doesn't impact my points. I don't get points for mistakes, not mistakes, because I'm already okay inside. There's nothing wrong with me inside, in my heart, right? And I think most people who can start spending time in their own heart and compassionately look at themselves and their lives and their difficulties and their hardships and learn to be compassionate about that, realize, they just start to realize, I just dealt with a lot. There's nothing bad there. So I think that's really where it starts. And then as for starting to, you know, do away with those critical thoughts, maybe it helps to understand where they came from or who put them in your head, right? And often we can identify where that came from, right? Who was constantly putting down or whatever else. And for me, you know, what I've learn to do, and in the website what I wrote is just to learn to kind of stand up for yourself. And I don't mean stand up for yourself like rah 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 necessarily, which maybe we have to as well, but literally for your internal self, like for my deep self, like no more demeaning myself or anyone demeaning me. No, I'm not going to be unkind to myself. No, I'm not. You know, that kind of standing up for yourself where you start to take care of yourself in a deep way and love yourself in a deep way, that you don't allow that kind of hardness on your person, because you really feel for yourself, because you know what you went through. So why do you want to be hard on yourself? You already know how hard, like everybody's life was hard. Everybody's life was hard. You know, it's a big challenge to be a human being.
The concept of it's not that you're quote unquote good enough, because that brings up some sort of disparity, but instead that you're perfect just the way you are. It's not that, okay, you're good enough at 80% and that means you're lacking 20%. It means that you're perfect at 80% or 70% or 110% or whatever it is, because what we are able to give is everything is exactly how it's supposed to be for that moment. So everything works out the way that it should, because that's the only way that it can. And you said something which was that, like, I'm okay. And that's a big thing that, you know, when I teach, my business, my coaching is on self-confidence. And to me, self-confidence is just the feeling of I'm going to be okay. I have within me the capacity to figure things out. So no matter what happens, as you said, I've been through hard things in life already. I can deal with more hard things in life. And that to me unlocks a level of confidence that I think is very freeing for people. But this starts with self-acceptance. And I think that's something that a lot of us struggle with, because we can hear someone say, well, Sandy, I understand that's cool for you. You're good how you are, but I'm different because, as you said, it's been programmed into us for whatever length of time since our childhood or something like that. We see everyone else as different, but we are unique. So how do we start people who are struggling with this hurdle of like, I hear you, I'm right there with you for everyone else, but I am still less than.
For us, when you're sitting in the room all together and everyone describes their thing and starts behaving compassionately with each other instead of critically and judgmentally, it helps, right? Because it becomes like an example. But I mean, it was a long practice for myself to start to learn to be like just really, really kind to myself. Like it was so big to get to that point because my, I'll call it the word training, it doesn't matter, my training or my whatever by society or caregivers or whatever was always to look outside. Like I would always, you know, see what I've done and does that make me a good person? Like, was I nice to this person? Did I do this good? I'm so helpful. I'm pleasing this one. So that my definition was coming from my external, you know, how good girl you are or how whatever you are, what points you get or what achievements you get. It's still all external. And then, so I don't know where that switch literally happened, but I absolutely refuse to define myself by that point system. Like, no, I'm not going to, you know, be okay only if I get these degrees and only if I do all these nice things for everyone. And I literally now feel like I can sit and do absolutely nothing, like zero, for anyone or anything and feel the same way. Like, I'm fine. And it doesn't mean I'm not going to do anything. I might do plenty of things, but I'm not doing it to get those points to make myself, okay, I'm good enough. If I only help this one, I only do this to this one, I only get this, now I'm good. No, I absolutely, you know, refuse to live by that point system. I don't agree with it. And so it's a refusal to maybe it's part of just not being controlled by external things. And the more you love yourself in a deep way, that external system doesn't make sense anymore. It just, I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me anymore.
Yeah, I think that hits the nail on the head. To me, that is everything. It's the disconnecting from external control and bringing control inside of us. So much of life is we're feeling like we're being pushed and pulled and yanked. And I call it, you know, living in reactivity. We're responding to fires where we're following up on yesterday and we're figuring out all of these things. And when we're doing that, everything feels very much out of our control. And it's very hard to feel grounded in yourself because it's like, I'm just reacting to everything. Whereas when you can be in more control, I call this being in the driver's seat of life. When you're in the driver's seat, things still happen, but you're able to react to them. But it takes, as you said, a detachment from a lot of the ways that we've been programmed, from societal norms, from the things that we quote unquote should be doing, a lot of the expectations put on us from others. So how did you start to unwind those things, like in your own personal journey? Because there has to be some friction there when it comes to what others expected of you, maybe your family, business partners, and things like that. And how did you start to take a stand to be like, no, like it's not about what's expected of me, it's about what I expect of myself?
Which reflects all the kind of research, I guess, I was doing, all the little pieces of the puzzle that came together for me. It wasn't one thing. So all our topics, will, you know, there's so many of them that I went through experiencing to get this to this feeling now. But I think another big one, which is super, super important, is the word accountability. And I know people use this word all the time very loosely, like they use all the words very loosely. But to literally feel it is a whole other thing. We're back again to feeling and not intellectualizing or thinking about the topic, but to truly feel accountable all the time for every single thing that happens all the time is a very hard thing for most people to do. And it was very, very hard for me to do. And I had to start to try to find, like, no matter what was going on. So let's say I really feel hurt by something somebody did or blah, blah, blah. I always said, okay, I'm going to try to find my 2%. How did I participate in this thing for 2%? I don't need to find the 100. Like, did I do 2%, you know, in this issue? And of course, lo and behold, I can always find it, right? Oh yeah, I did kind of permit this. Oh, I did kind of this or whatever, but not in a blamey way. Again, that's the critical blamey way, but in an actual scientific, literal way. Yeah, it's true. I've been doing, you know, in an objective, true way, not as a critical way. It's true. I've been permitting whatever. And if we start to see our part or our responsibility or our accountability in certain things, what is that? that's not guilt, that's power. Because now we could see, oh, I could stop doing the 2% and get myself out of this thing now, right? Or not repeat it or learn from it or something else. So seeing, you know, your part in everything that happens is a huge, huge one in terms of taking charge for your life. It's really becoming an adult and being responsible, not again, not in a blaming way, just in an adult way to be responsible for what's going on. And of course, this can extend further and further now to be responsible for everything that's going on in the world, even, right? A very wide concept of accountability. So if you're very frustrated about what's happening, Ukraine versus Russia, let's say, so you could take a time and think, you know, how am I playing a part in this war, for example? Am I also super nationalistic, or am I doing whatever? And so this constant learning and looking at ourselves for our participation in everything, for me, is a very, it's a very, very big one for making different choices, right? The more you see it, your choice will be different because you see it.
It's very uncomfortable, I think, when people are first faced with this perspective. But to me, it's freeing. It's exactly like you said. It's not blaming myself so that I can judge myself or so that I can beat up on myself. It's taking accountability and taking responsibility so that I can change it, because you can't change what you aren't in control of. You don't solve a problem that you didn't help create. If you're at work and something goes wrong and you pass the buck off to someone else, what you're doing is going like, okay, well, that's Susie's problem now. That's Steve's problem. That's Chris's problem. It doesn't matter. But you will never handle that thing. It's human nature when it's not your fault. Very rarely do we take up other people's battles. But instead, if we can sit and say, well, that was Steve's thing, but I'm his supervisor, or I'm his coworker, or he ran that by me and I didn't stop him. Like, now you have skin in the game, and now it's something that you feel inclined to do. And again, I think that that's important, not from a perspective of like, well, you shouldn't have messed up. It's important from a perspective of, we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. And making mistakes is fine, and failing is fine, and screwing up is fine. It's when we make the same mistakes over and over that it becomes a pattern. And that is something that we want to change, because that is when we become disillusioned and disheartened with life. It's not when something bad happens to us. It's when we feel stuck in the badness and we feel like we've seen this play out over and over and it always plays out the same way. So why even continue trying? And when you don't have any control over the thing, when it's not your fault, when you're just like, well, that's, how could I have any effect on Ukraine and Russia? But it's like, maybe you don't, but maybe you could. How you spend your money, do the organizations that you shop with support one side or the other? Do the politicians that you have voted for or haven't voted for have an opinion on this that is weighing on the controversy? So it's like, it can seem over the top to even like reaching at times, which it can be. But the point is that it's, as you said earlier, flexing that muscle, the muscle of accountability, and getting out of the headspace of things are happening to me, and getting into the mindset of, I am an active participant in my life, and everything that affects me, I can affect. And there's a way that you've talked about this that I've heard and seen you write about, which is, people are always asking for permission. And this is something that I know you've talked about in your circles before. So I'm curious how you can help to nudge people along if that's where they're stuck.
Well, just two quick things though, I would say, but what you're saying, which is all super interesting, but in terms of like the accountability for everything, right? So most of the time, I don't, you know, delve into it necessarily, right? Like, I don't spend all my time thinking, okay, how did I cause this? How do I, like, I can't, right? Obviously, it would be way too much for me. But just knowing that, you know, makes me, that somehow everything is affecting everything, makes me at least not spend my energy complaining, blaming, et cetera, and not being, you know, an active participant in the world, right? So, but we can't always look for that exact detail of how everything is connected. That's very hard, but it at least removes this constant, you know, reflex to blame everything all the time on others. But the other thing you were saying about the mistakes and the manager and all that, but you could see how when I was talking originally about this, like, something's wrong with me point system versus, I'm fine and good in myself and I'm allowed to make mistakes and so what? And it doesn't impact this central goodness of myself. It just means I'm messing up or I made mistakes a million times. So what? But it doesn't. These two different things are at the heart of everything. And so it's very hard for people to take accountability or see mistakes and all that if they're under this system of points where I'm going to lose a point if I see a mistake or I'm now going to be whatever. And this is perpetuated by everyone because every time somebody acknowledges a mistake, you're bashed, punished, or degraded or whatever else, right? So it kind of feeds into that system as well. So it's very hard to actually decide like, no, I'm not. And all mistakes are, yes, they're mistakes. I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to try whatever, but they do not impact. I know myself so well, so deeply, and so much in my heart that it's just a mess up. That's it. It's not bigger than that. It's just a mistake. I did my best. And that's what I knew at the time. And I have certainly made my list of mistakes in my life, but I now know that's, you know, it doesn't do anything in the deepest way. And in terms of permission, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of the things I discovered, not knowing that I'm going to discover that when I started figuring all this out, is that really a lot of it is about power. And we're not talking about the power in the politics type words that people use it there. I don't think that's true power. That's force, what's really going on there. But when we're talking about a deep human power that actually exists, there's a lot of it that's there that we keep not using, even though it's right there, right? So one example is, as you said, asking permission. So I'm asking permission to somebody to be myself. You know, that's giving somebody else the key. Here, Paul, you get to decide if I get to sing in the shower and enjoy myself because I love to sing in the shower. Here you go. Here's the power. You know, take it. Versus, no, I don't need that permission. I can do that. I don't need somebody else. So there's a lot of these things that we do where we hand over, you get to decide to approve of me. You get to decide if I'm this, you get to decide that. And we've given that away to other people instead of, and I mean, factually, not, you know, again, people use these words intellectually, but literally, I mean, actually speaking, yes, I actually gave it to this person. And no, I'm going to take it right back and I'm going to have this decision-making power internally. And it's hard and it's based a bit on trust. And slowly but surely, we start to realize that if we listen to ourselves, that leads us in a better direction. Better doesn't mean necessarily you'll have success right away or whatever, or maybe ever, but you start to feel right about yourself. You feel like I'm doing the right things. My conscience feels good. I'm feeling like I'm following myself. Things start to feel right. I don't mean right, wrong. Just you start to feel at ease internally. And for me, that's the goal of the game. Mm-hmm. That's the goal of life, not to be happy, not to whatever success, for you to walk around every single moment of the day feeling at ease. Can you feel at peace with yourself? And the only way to do that is to start being honest and truthful with yourself and make choices based on that truth. And well, what happens, happens. That's the way I see it. Other than that, because my job is not to fix the world or change the world or control anything, or just to find how can I live in peace myself. And whatever I have to do for that, that's what I do basically every minute.
I mean, I love that. I think being at ease, ease is a big word for me. Mm-hmm. I actually released a podcast recently about that. I made an entire framework that I call easier and how to make mm-hmm. everything easier. I think people always think like work harder, do more, grind. It's like, what if we just made things easier? So for mm-hmm. anyone listening, I made a checklist for easier habit building that I'll include in the show notes that anyone can download for free. Just go and click easier habits and routines. But the last thing I want to ask you, Sandy, you've given us so many little tidbits already, so you can feel free to repeat something that you've already mentioned or bring something new to the table. But if you had one action step that you could leave listeners with right now, today, as soon as this episode ends, as soon as they take their headphones out to start living a happier, healthier life, what would it be?
I guess just to listen to yourself. You know, you have an internal system that's made to guide you. And to just start to listen and trust that internal system. Because for one person, you know, living in ease might be, you know, I need to take a year off work now. I'm not feeling well. And the other person might be, I need to stop talking to this person. It's toxic for me. And the other person. So just starting to listen, you know, love yourself deeply and listen to yourself deeply. I do believe each person is best guided by their internal knowledge, right? We can feel what's good for us when we love ourselves. So that's what I would say.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that and offering that as an action step to the listeners. I think it's the truth. That's it. That's just what it is.
We agree then, Paul. We agreed on the truth.
100% truth. So I love this, Sandy. And I know that people listening are going to want to learn more, maybe check out your book, which I have linked in the show notes, your book, your website, everything else. But if people want to connect with you, where's the best place for them to find you?
So they could find me. Again, there's a website.
Yeah, if you want to connect with Sandy more deeply and learn about what she's doing, go check that out. Sandy, thank you so much for being here. I really enjoyed this conversation. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode or got value from it, you can support the show by sharing it with a friend and giving them the gift of a happier, healthier life. You can also leave a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That helps boost the show on those platforms so more people can discover it and we can all grow together. I'll see you back here every Tuesday and Thursday morning. And until then, stay happy, stay healthy.